It's Loving the Strange with Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar. Loving the Strange, a podcast for weirdos and those who want to be weirder, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Loving the Strange. Check us out. Hey, welcome to Loving the Strange, where Sean forgot.
I never knew people could see us.
Only the edge
for
of you.
The intro.
And you had your head.
The side.
You had the head. Your head in your hands, baby. You're like,
bored, man. I was just waiting for that minute to go by.
That was a long minute.
Well, it always is.
All right, but hey, welcome to Loving the Strange.
There's nobody here, baby.
Where all the minutes are long.
Especially when there's nobody here.
But tonight,
it's just you and me.
Well, that makes it sexier.
Maybe.
Except when your head is in your hands, boo. So, hey, welcome. And we record these every once in a while. It used to be every other Friday. Before that was every Friday.
Every other Friday.
And
for anomalies.
And we had an anomaly last week because we realized our dog Sparty was dying, so we didn't do it. And this week.
Hey, why don't we play? Tonight we play Strip Podcast.
How about
every time
held to the
every
no.
time a woman signs on to the comments, you have to remove a piece of clothing.
Then no women out of solidarity with
and
me
every time
would
a
sign
on. Signs
on
I do.
All right, so I don't think you understand. That would mean that no women would sign on because they would all understand that I do not want a strip podcast. And then.
Or maybe it's because they wanted to see me strip.
No, because your rules.
Like, come on, man.
Your rules, baby.
Oh, I understand the rules.
We're only for men.
Saying. I understand what you're saying.
Having any power over whether or not you stripped.
Men, yes.
Right. So it wouldn't have anything to do with the women.
It would, in the fact that they get just hot. See, there's one. Now we're even.
Hi, Susie, and hi, John Bell.
And if Chris Walsh was here, he'd probably sign on, too.
Oh, John Bell said yo, yo, yo three times.
I know. Yo, yo,
that's
yo.
A lot
that's
of yo-yos.
Or yo, yo. No, it's got to be a different person, Johnny.
He's trying to get Shawnee naked. Because that's what friends are for.
That was funny.
Four articles of clothing come off of Sean. But no, we don't do that because this is a family show.
Can't see anything besides my.
Yes.
And my breast line, anyways.
And anyways, so welcome to Loving the Strange. And this week's topic on our very obviously live podcast is strange morning rituals. And Shawnee thought of this topic.
Because I think of them every time. Almost. Not every time.
Earlier this evening, Shawnee said to me, you're going to be nice today. Don't ruin our one evening.
I did ask her to be nice this podcast.
And then look at what he does.
What did I do?
Passive aggressive.
Oh, but I wasn't lying. You didn't get to ring the bell.
All right. So this came in our mail and it did not have.
I think it was D.
It's either D or Susie.
It's got to be D or Susie.
And it is the bell of lying because on another, you can see
it
it's brand new.
Podcast, baby.
On another podcast episode, sweetheart, I was talking about how every time Sean lied, I should ring a bell,
yeah.
But I had no bell. And
somebody
now, somebody,
yeah.
See?
It's perfect. It's like a front desk bell at a cheap hotel.
And it was so cool to get it in the mail because I was like, what? And I got all excited and it's adorable. I mean, look at this bell.
No, I need one.
No, because I don't lie. I don't lie.
Ding, ding.
Very often.
Ding, ding. Oh, wait,
that's
not
so
a,
not
that's
true.
That's not a lie, because it is very often. I'm sorry.
No, I don't lie hardly ever. I'm very, very dull. I'm so dull. And the reason why I don't lie, I don't know if I have any moral scruples, but I don't lie because I am the world's worst liar.
You're very bad.
I am so bad. Like, everybody in my family makes fun of me when I even try to lie because my face scrunches up and I do all these weird things. Like I'm 4 years old trying to lie. Like, I can't do it. Although, and Emily, our daughter, our older daughter, is always like, Mommy, you would be the worst spy in the world. But maybe I would be the best spy in the world because everybody thinks they know that I'm a terrible liar. But what if I'm really not? What if I'm actually the world's best liar and I just created an elaborate and manipulative ruse? Are you going to respond to that? Your dog is looking at you, Farrar.
It's what I was thinking the whole time.
What?
What if?
What if?
Like the reverse psychology spy.
Like, I could totally be doing this. I could be like...
You're like a comedy spy.
Yeah. I could be that good. Like, that manipulative and that good. But I'm not. What?
Our dog's being a nut.
Yeah, sorry about that. So, Susie said, I stand with Carrie and withdraw my sign on. Thank you, Susie.
But she just took the clothing off anyway.
I did because it was my sweatshirt. And then Susie said, ding, ding.
Yeah.
I think it might have been.
I haven't lied yet tonight.
What?
I said, I haven't lied yet tonight. I haven't.
Liar.
Anyways.
So
you got a morning routine for us?
Yes. So morning routines. There's been a lot of talk lately on the internet. And if you all have a really interesting or even boring morning routine, who are we to judge? Let us know. But there's been a lot of talk on the internet about morning routines, and especially the morning routines of the very rich and the very successful. And I think they're somehow equating the fact that these very rich and very successful people have these morning routines that will somehow make the rest of us very rich and very successful. But I don't think that there's actually that link, because
I don't think so either.
I think being super rich and super successful really involves in diversifying your income streams, not spending more than you have, and investing whatever you can if you have enough money to even invest.
Oh, and that's what I was going to tell you when I was making dinner, and I forgot. I just remembered. But I'll remember later because I can't say it now.
Okay. That was so unhelpful for everyone, baby.
About investments and diversification.
Okay. So anyways... so alive. We're so alive right now. The whole point is that I think that's what everybody thinks, that like if you emulate the habits of successful people, you too will be successful. And maybe that's partially true, but I think the real habit that you want to emulate is not staying off of Facebook before you get out of bed, which is actually a good idea. But actually, if you have any extra money, try to diversify. Invest. Make your money make money for you.
I was thinking something along those lines a few minutes ago when I was thinking about the supposed routines of rich people or wealthy people.
Yeah.
But I was thinking there should be like a monetary number attached to the time. Like if you wake up at 5 o'clock, maybe you make a couple hundred a year, right? You wake up at 4 o'clock, you might be a millionaire.
I would do that.
You wake up at 3 o'clock, then you're worth 10 million.
But you'd be so tired.
You wake up at 2 o'clock, you're worth 100 million.
Where is this coming
from? You only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. See, that's when you get to be billionaire status.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying, because it seems like the richer the people are, the more. I only sleep 4 hours a night. There's been a ton of those recently.
You know,
in the last decade, I'll say.
You know what's really interesting to me?
What?
Off topic, since we're kind of off topic already. Look at you. Look at how you're sitting.
Yeah.
You're like, all your arms are all back, and you're like, I can't even imagine sitting like that. Why in not? Regular life, but I also, because that's not who I am. And I can't especially imagine doing it on a podcast. But look at you.
I like to keep my arms up above my heart, keeps the blood flowing.
It's like you're trying to show off your like triceps or something.
I don't have any muscles, dude.
It's really funny because it just.
I'm a half a century plus a few years old.
My point is that it kind of shows how very different we are, even in mannerisms. The end. All right. So Susie said, you didn't even respond. But Susie said.
When you moved around, as Susie said.
Because there was a really big pause, baby.
Because she actually got me thinking about the dough. I was thinking another kind of dough.
All right. So Susie said, I'm glad you got it. And I was worried about porch pirates. Susie, we definitely have it. And that was really, 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 really nice of you.
Yeah, it was.
And it's adorable. And it has a very honored place on my desk right now.
It was really awesome.
It's so funny. Cool. Plus, it can be a nose.
And it's like really pretty good quality, actually.
Susie said if Sean's theory was true, she should be rolling in dough because she only sleeps 3 hours at a time.
Well, wow. You are.
Maybe you are rolling in dough. Maybe it's a nice white bread dough. Maybe it's bagel dough. Who knows? But you could be rolling in it.
She wants the green dough.
All right. So here, there's an article on Blinkist.
Yeah.
Actually, no, let's not go there first. There's an article on Wandering Gamefully, G-A-I-M-fully.
Wandering Gamefully with an N?
With an M.
Gamefully.
M as in Mora or Mom or Mary.
Got it.
All right. So, and it's basically why you should create a weird morning ritual is their headline, which totally worked for me as a headline. And this person who writes it, oh, it's Wandering Aimfully.
Oh, that's all right, baby.
Well, now we know that Wandering Gamefully is out there as a potential website.
That's not taken. They were just gamers.
I did too. So anyways, I thought they were doing a little adorable pun, but they were not. I was just reading wrong. So, live podcast. They talk about how they had, like, their morning ritual used to be this. They would wake up. They'd get their iPhone and swipe it open and immediately check. Looking for like notifications, right? Like
what?
On Twitter, on Facebook, and on email.
Screw that.
I kind of do that. And so then they would read their email in bed, right?
Yeah.
And that would kind of often make them cranky because there'd be an email saying, I need you to do this, or you didn't do this well enough, or whatever.
That's a horrible way to wake up.
I know. And then they'd scroll through Facebook, and you know how sometimes Facebook can make a person cranky because someone's bashing someone else or ranting about something or, so that would make them cranky. And so then they'd go to Twitter and they'd go like start skimming through Twitter, right? And then Twitter is even crankier usually than Facebook. And so they'd get even more cranky. And by the time they got up out of bed, they'd be super grumpy. Right?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, I gotta go to work now. What's the point of my day? And like, that was their morning ritual, but they didn't think of it as a morning ritual, but it was their morning ritual. And so that ritual made them cranky, obviously, and grumpy, and it made them not feel like they were in control of their day. So they, quote, decided to take their control back, right? And like, they decided to start the day not with negative things, and instead they write, I decided to remove all opportunities for the boa constrictor of negativity to make his way around my neck. So I decided to spend the first 10 to 15 minutes of their day with a positive experience, which I think is a really like cool idea.
What's their positive experience for a single morning?
Well, that is the ritual that they created, right? So for them, they go on Instagram because Instagram.
Oh, it's still based upon their phone.
Their first thing in their bed, right?
Yeah.
is they keep their phone next to their bed, right? And that's not going to change, they said. But instead, they took off the app for Facebook and they took off the app for Twitter, and they just keep the app for Instagram. And they said, why? Because their feed is basically mostly friends and family and puppies and pretty landscapes. And so, like, that's not negative. That makes them happier, which is how I usually feel about Instagram too, except for the fact that nobody ever likes anything on my Instagram. And then that
makes me crazy. Said that to me exactly before, just like that. Not the people liking your shit, but the other part.
Yeah. So they spend 5 to 15 minutes on Instagram, which to me is a really long time, but that's because that's me and not them, right? And so then the next thing they do, which they call a weird morning ritual, but I feel like it's the ritual of all Americans since the 1940s, is that they make coffee.
Oh, wow.
I know. I'm like, ooh, that's so weird. Whoa.
I mean, it's you know, it's a process. You got to put the filter in.
I know. So hard.
Filter.
Yeah. Anyway, so they make coffee. And they used to have bullet.
Let me guess. Then they go to the bathroom.
Well, like, I got to talk about their coffee first. They make bulletproof coffee originally, which is coffee
with. Is that a brand?
No, it's coffee with butter in it.
Oh.
But now they spend more time making coffee because they grind their beans, which they find relaxing.
Oh, my God.
They
there's nothing better than the sound of a bean grinder first thing in the morning. That's relaxing.
You just scared the dog.
Anything scares the dog. Right?
And then they pour exactly 850 grams of water in. And then they use something called the Chemex. I don't know. I'm not cool enough. And it makes two perfect to them cups of coffee. And during that process, they do not pick up their phone.
You know what? All I have to say is that this entire thing is so elitist.
I want to hear about it. Why?
Well, number one, it's a little trust fund, baby.
You don't
because,
know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know it. Because you know what? Somebody with normal responsibilities of everyday life wakes up first thing in the morning thinking about that negativity. They don't need to go to their phone to find negativity. They worry about life's everyday stressors when they wake up. Number one.
Is that what happens to you, baby?
Yeah. Number two.
That's so sad.
I know. And here you are like, oh, I'm the anxious one. Oh. But you're up first thing in the morning on your phone playing Save the King bubble thing.
No, I am not.
I know. That was a lie.
Ding, oh, ding. Wait.
Anyways.
Oh, no.
You can't hold the bell.
There
you go.
Thanks, Susie.
Anyways. The other part is the whole ritualism of the morning time. Like, I have a morning ritual in the kitchen, but it's all chores.
And expelling gas.
It's not like, oh, I enjoy the grinding of the beans. The only beans I grind are in the disposal of the sink.
So,
loading and unloading the dishwasher.
So you feel like your chores don't give you peace?
No. I think this is just one of those typical bullcrap.
Bullcrap.
I don't even know what generation it is.
I don't think it is necessarily part of a generation.
What has come to be our life nowadays.
I wouldn't say that attitude is necessarily isolated to a particular generation.
It's isolated to two.
No, I think it would run across multiple generations. But the point, I think, is well taken. Like, these are people who have enough time, enough space to create, to spend 15 minutes in bed in their bad routine, like cruising through social media.
I know.
Which is not the same as you, because you spend those 15 minutes turning on and off your alarm.
You just
times.
Wait. I'm going to tell my special morning routine before we're done tonight.
I don't think you should.
Why?
Because I think it'll make me look bad.
No, you're the hero of my morning routine.
Oh, I am?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely,
so, all right. So anyways, this person's morning routine continues on, and then their weird morning routine ritual number three is that they While their coffee is brewing, they pick up one of their many Calvin and Hobbes books, and they look at it, and it makes them remember when they were a kid hanging out in the attic of their grandparents' house. So their grandparents had a house, so obviously their grandparents at least had some money, and they like relive that joy of being a little kid in the attic reading Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, and so that's how they start their morning in a positive way. And their point is that you want to take control of how you start the day, so you don't let the start of the day control you.
And then after they drink their coffee, they either go to the gym or a therapist, depending on which day of the week it is.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And then they come home.
Are you jealous?
No, I just said it's kind of an elitist-based article.
I know, but do you want to be that
elite? No, God, no. I'll just keep our old Mr. Coffee machine. And once the coffee's done, I want to go out and play.
All right.
So, I want to go to the therapist.
So there's another article on Blinkist all about 12 unusual morning routines of successful people.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's actually even an entire book that this article is based on called My Morning Routine. And it's all about the strategies to start your day and start your day off well, right?
Yeah.
And it's also a little bit about how your brain works and how if you organize your brain first thing in the morning, then you can kind of like that.
Sounds like a whole separate podcast.
No, it's all about morning routines. It's just the cognitive neuroscience about it.
Sounds like a Dogs Are Smarter Than People podcast.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
so
no,
you beat the podcast thing.
I wasn't trying to shut you up or hurry you up.
I'm hurt. No, I'm not. So anyways, they have bits from different people who are successful by their metrics, whatever those are, and say how they start their day. So this guy, Tyler Cowen, the author of Average is Over and a professor of economics at George Mason University, says he wakes up at 6:30 or 7 a.m. He drinks his mineral water. Sorry, this is also precious. You're so right, because it's all so precious.
What's like, mineral water?
It's water with minerals in it.
I know. Where does it come from?
The store. It comes from the store, man.
Yeah, but where's it bottled?
I don't know. It depends on the brand. So, Tyler Cowen begins at 6:30 or 7 a.m.
Yeah.
So later than we begin. Maybe Tyler doesn't have children, and drinks some mineral water and then munches a green pepper with some cheese and smoked trout. So sorry. That sounds wonderful to me, but it also sounds so expensive. The smoked trout.
The smoked trout part is expensive.
And the cheese, unless you're getting like the shredded grocery store brand, also is expensive. And it just, I mean, it sounds lovely. But expensive.
Hell yeah, it does.
Yeah, and very
it's
precious.
It's all elitist.
Yeah.
Mineral water.
I know.
Jesus. We don't even pay for it.
Oh, Pogi loves you.
She just wants attention.
Why
she
not? We all want attention, right, Pogi?
Well, why don't you come over here and crawl up on my lap?
Why don't you tell everybody what your morning
is? My morning
is? Yeah, man. I think that's more interesting than these people's with their green peppers.
All right.
And smoked trout.
So every morning. No, let's back up. Every night.
Okay.
I set the alarm on my phone at 5 a.m.
5 a.m.
Yes. And when my alarm goes off at 5 a.m., I hit the snooze button.
And I might
hit the snooze button more than once for that 5 a.m., but eventually I shut the 5 a.m. alarm off and reset it to 5:30 a.m.
Oh.
Which means I can hit the snooze button under 5 a.m. no more than 3 times. Because, did you know?
What is Pookie doing?
Snoozes are always 9 minutes.
No, I had tried to figure that out, though.
They're always 9 minutes. Anyways,
How do I end up the hero of the story? Because that's all.
Because you're the one that gets up.
Oh, his alarm goes off and I get up.
You're always up by 5:30.
Yeah.
And then I get to shut my alarm off. Because Carrie goes in the bathroom and does whatever her morning ritual is in there.
I brush my teeth and wash my face.
And I use that time to catch another little power nap.
Yes. And then what?
And then Carrie comes out and gives me a kiss.
I do.
And I say, I'll be right down, baby.
And I say.
What do you say? And then after like a couple minutes, I get up and I go downstairs.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I don't have enough ding time. Hi, Pokey.
Buddy, I'm always downstairs. Most always by 6.
I think that might be ding worthy.
But then when I come downstairs, when my ritual really starts, Carrie demands that I make coffee for her.
Okay. All right. Wait.
Or tea.
I don't ever demand anything.
Sometimes breakfast.
He's such a liar. I can't even keep up with the dings. I can't keep up with the dings, Pogie.
And I have to do the dishes, which is my fault, because I didn't do them the night before.
Oh, my God. Work harder, man. Work harder.
I gotta feed the dog.
Work harder.
The cats.
You're not working hard enough. Sean's like... in the 1950s, like, world of the U.S. sitcoms. Yeah. Sean's My Little Woman.
Oh. That's so funny.
Except he doesn't clean the toilet.
I wish I could share stuff on here.
I think maybe no.
No, I have a screenshot of this thing from a book from, like, the 1950s. And it's like, how to keep your man happy.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, that was like, that went around on like Facebook and social media a long time ago.
It's not sexual stuff.
No, no.
It's just like, you know, have dinner ready for him when he comes home. Have his favorite slippers set out in his favorite chair. Stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to find, oh, wow. When you Google that, that's.
I think I did snatch it off of Facebook, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And why did you do that? Just to show me sometime.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
I'm gonna have a couple custom pillowcases made for you.
With just the thing.
So yeah. So you can sleep on them and be like osmosis.
Alright, so this is what it is, but it's very, very small.
So oh my god, that's so small.
I know. I don't know how to make it bigger without making everything in the whole world bigger, but here we go. So this is called The Good Wife's Guide, right?
Yeah.
You can vaguely see it. And it has things like...
I don't know what the one that's circled at the bottom is.
A good wife always knows her place.
Oh my God!
And this came from Housekeeping Monthly, allegedly, May 13th, probably Friday the 13th, in 1955.
Oh, man.
And the first one is have dinner ready, plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal ready on time for his return. This is a way of letting him know that you have been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs. Oh. Most men are hungry when they come home, and the prospect of a good meal, especially his favorite dish, is part of the warm welcome needed.
Man.
Yeah.
You don't ever think about me, do you?
No, I did that with my last husband, though.
It didn't work. Oh, you thought about him a lot, huh?
No, I just...
That's what it's supposed to be.
I kind of went...
Appreciate him and think about him.
Well, obviously, it didn't work. I kind of went into that 1950s housewife thing.
Oh, that's because you could.
Yeah. Number two is prepare yourself. Take 15 minutes to rest so you'll be refreshed when he arrives.
Take a shower.
Yeah. Well, hey, they don't want you to smell like the pot roast you've been cooking, I guess. So touch up your makeup, put a ribbon in your hair, and be fresh looking. He has just been with a lot of work-weary people. Number three. be a little gay and a little more interesting for him.
Be a little what?
More gay and interesting.
So happy and yes. interesting.
His one. Boring day may need a lift, and one of your duties is to provide it. So he's work weary yet bored, and he had a really hard day of boredom. So just making sure you got that. Clear away.
Got it.
Clear away the clutter.
Well, shit, you've been doing nothing all day long, woman. The house should be clean.
Make one last trip through the main part of the house just before your husband arrives.
Put the kids in the closet and clean everything up.
Gather up the school books, the toys, the paper, and then run a dust cloth over the tables.
What?
Yeah.
Every day?
Yeah. Over the cooler months of the year. I don't know if this is right. It's real because there's not commas in the proper places and people had no final E on the end. So once again, I'm not sure this is real.
All right.
Over the cooler months of the year, you should prepare and light a fire for him to unwind by. Your husband will feel he has reached a haven of rest and order, and it will give you a lift too. After all, catering for his comfort will provide you with immense personal satisfaction.
Oh my God.
And here, this is what you were talking about before. Ready?
Yeah.
Prepare the children. Take a few minutes to wash the children's hands and faces if they are small. Comb their hair, and if necessary, change their clothes. They are little treasures, and he would like to see them playing that part. So be fake, playing that part. Minimize all noise at the time of his arrival. Eliminate all the noise of the washer, the dryer, or the vacuum. Try to encourage the children to be quiet. No thoughts? No thoughts, bud?
Well, as our dog zooms around the house like an insane puppy.
She's a banshee.
I do have thoughts.
Yeah?
Yes. You need to step up your good woman game. Children aren't being quiet.
I'm so sorry, but you are the little woman in this house, and you are failing miserably on all of this. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Be happy to see him.
Well, I don't fail on that one.
Greet him with a warm smile and show sincerity in your desire to please him.
That's not in there.
Listen to him. You may have a dozen important things to tell him, but the moment of his arrival is not the time.
That's for damn sure.
Let him talk first. Remember, his topics of conversation are more important than yours.
Damn! Again. All right, that's enough of that.
I am so angry.
I mean, that's just enough of that.
Also, I'm supposed to arrange your pillow.
Oh, well, I don't fail there as a little woman, since I make the bed every day.
He does. Do you want to tell them why you make the bed every day?
Because I do it better?
Yep.
Is that why?
Yep, because I don't do it well enough.
Is that what you think?
What?
Is that what you think?
That's what you tell me.
No, it's just another part of my effort to make the day easier for you. That's not true.
You have legitimately said, I have to make the bed because you don't make it the way I want it.
Oh, that's just like when I wash the sheets.
No, you would say
it. I make it from scratch.
You would say it every time. You're like, I don't, and then you fix it. You always fix it.
I like a well-made bed. You make it just a fine bed. It's perfect. All right.
Okay.
I've slept in many a bed made by you.
Oh, no. The dog has the napkins.
What napkins? Oh, that's fine.
From dinner.
Whatever.
Because someone wasn't a good wife and put away the napkins after dinner.
Yeah, she didn't carry them upstairs to the hamper.
Legitimately, the dog has all that.
I know. It's fine. They're cloth. Okay. She won't eat them.
Okay. Hi, baby.
Look, read Susie's thing.
Susie said it is real. There is a similar guide to prepare for sewing. Ooh. Really? Shawnee, why aren't you sewing?
I think that's part of that Project 2025. I think the Republicans are trying to bring that shit back. That's like part of the overall goal.
Maybe. But we're trying not to be political.
Oh, we're not being political. That is a joke.
Okay. Read this John Bell thing.
Well, I wasn't thinking about this, honestly, but John says, I know Sean's dying to bring up my old ritual of oversleeping on school days, and my mom yelling at me to get up, and one time I yelled at her to shut up, and she came in my room and threw a whole jug of sticky red Kool-Aid on me in bed. No idea how Sean didn't get splashed that day.
Wait, what? Were you guys sleeping together?
No, but remember I told you that John's bedroom was like a converted, like a patio, like a carport.
It's okay if you were sleeping.
No, but he had a door to his room on the backside.
Yeah.
So I could just walk around and go in his room.
Uh-huh.
And that motherfucker was always
Language!
Always still asleep when it's time to go to school. So I'd be in his room trying to get him out of bed, as would be his mom in and out. And then one night she got pissed off because he talked back to her. I mean, one morning. And she did. She threw a whole, like, plastic jug of freaking Kool-Aid on him in bed.
And where were you situated?
I was just standing there in his room.
While he was sleeping?
He was laying in his bed.
You're getting creepy, honey.
Oh, it's not like
I just have this image of you standing.
Dude. I've probably been asleep or passed out in that bed 1,000 fucking times.
Language!
I've been standing over it or laying next to it, also asleep or something. It's not creepy. At all.
Can you stop swearing the F-bomb?
I haven't sworn at all.
Oh, I scared the dog. I'm so sorry, baby. Come here.
But yeah, that's a true story.
Susie says male-female expectations were very different back in the 40s and 50s.
Oh, ain't all that different now.
And even in the 60s. And for some of us, still.
I'm just kidding.
Some of us still. But yeah, there you go.
What?
I've had to ding that bell a lot tonight, huh?
Because you like to, not because I've been lying.
Oh, gosh.
What?
You just lied again.
You don't know. You don't know if I'm lying.
I do, because I know that I don't like to ring the bell, and I know that you have been lying. So that means that that whole entire statement is wrong.
She's been walking around here with that bell ding ever since it arrived.
That's not true either, but I'm not going to ding
the bell. Don't let her lie to you.
All right, here's another odd morning routine. So this one is from Jillian Michaels, who's a personal trainer and television personality.
Oh, I've heard of her.
I know who she is, too. All right, so she says, my alarm clock is my five-year-old. He jolts me from slumber at about 6:10 every morning for cuddles. That just doesn't sound real. Saying slumber right there. It sounds like your publicist wrote that. Then we get up and feed the animals, rabbit, pig, dog, bird, chicken, ducks, fish, etc. Yes, I am serious.
So
that's her morning ritual, I guess.
Well, that's not bad.
No.
Excuse me. But she made it easy. She made it sound so easy.
I know.
The kid comes in and we get up.
They cuddle.
And in reality, it's like the kid comes in, you grab him. Tuck him in close and be like, hey, you want to go back to sleep? You know you want to go back to sleep. And then you try to catch a few more minutes.
Some people are more.
And they
people,
wiggle and
huh?
kick, and you're like, come on, don't make me choke you out. And
then
you get up. But it's not like some smooth process like she tries to make it out to me. But.
Choke them out.
I was just kidding.
So Jenny Blake, the author of Pivot and also a public speaker, said, I love reading nonfiction books with a candle lit for 1 or 2 hours until the sun rises.
Oh, you're full of shit.
Language!
I didn't say the F-bomb.
Oh, afterwards, I meditate for 30 to 45 minutes.
Oh,
before.
Come on.
That is so special.
Sleep for an extra hour.
I know. That's so. I mean, I'm jealous. I'm just going to admit that I think I'm jealous.
What?
I can't imagine a world where I would be okay with.
I mean, Carrie literally always, with very rare exception, gets up first.
I do.
You know, brushes her teeth, poops, whatever, and she's down here in front of the computer working like within like 7 minutes.
Yeah. I am hardcore. I will say I do like working kind of in the dark in the winter months. It's kind of fun. So I get that in her thing. But the candlelight to read by, that just doesn't seem safe, or it doesn't.
It seems like a lot of hassle to have to get up and light candles, enough candles to read by.
Yeah, it seems dim. Yeah. You know, like candlelight.
I just fall back asleep.
Like, how close to the candle does your book have to be in the morning, every morning?
So close that when you fall asleep, that book lands on the candle and gets your house on fire.
Yeah, and how many candles does she go through if she reads for that long every morning? And then she gets to meditate, too.
I know, then she meditates after that.
But that's a lot of sitting down.
Or laying down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how healthy that is. Like, why aren't... Yeah, I know. I don't know. All right, so there we go. Nobody else, apparently, other than John, has an interesting...
Morning ritual?
Yeah, or morning story.
I mean, you know, truth be known, okay. Another part of my morning ritual you just reminded me of, the reason I don't get up before normally or with you is because you're like your little bit of alone time.
Oh, so really? Much.
When that you is... like to work in the dark in the winter months, uninterrupted.
That is not the reason.
So I usually stay behind half an hour, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. If I'm feeling generous.
I really don't want to have to ding that bell again.
Because you know it's true.
It's not true at all. Your entire life, and possibly like John Bell. I don't know what he was like in high school, John, because that's when he was sleeping with you.
Dude, I was the first one up in the neighborhood every day.
I don't know if that's a lie or not.
That's true. John was a sleeper. I was an early riser back then.
But like Shawnee is not a morning person. He's always like, my mom's not a morning person either. I got it from her. And like, he legitimately does not care how many times his alarm will wake anybody else up.
Oh no, who cares?
Because he just shuts it off. Over and over and over again. And there's no point in me trying to get any sleep past that first alarm because it's hell. Like,
usually get a couple 9-minute whacks in.
Not really.
While the snooze is going, ticking.
I spend like 8 minutes of that going, oh, there's no point. I should just get up right now. All right. So John says.
Yeah.
You want to read it?
Sure.
All right.
Now I get up at 5:30, first ring of phone alarm. See, that's the problem. You know, I mean, if I had like a traditional job, I'd have to get up and my alarm went off, right?
Right.
Plus, I have alarm trauma, dude. I really do. Anyways.
What's alarm trauma?
Alarm trauma is when you have an experience in your life that lasts a while where routinely you have to wake up at some absurd hour to do something that you absolutely hate.
Is this when you were a cop?
It's when I was going to the Criminal Justice Academy. I got to come home on the weekends and come Monday morning at like 3 or 4 in the morning when I have to get up and get down to basketball in time for the start of Monday's class.
Yeah.
I grew to despise phone alarms.
That's like, what did it.
That's trauma, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Once a week.
Plus, I just like to sleep.
You do. You really do like to sleep. Okay.
But back to John's.
Yes.
So John says, now I get up at 5:30, first ring of the phone alarm. Run 5 miles in my head while I'm on the throne. Then I make the bed and get dressed and get ready to work 30 minutes early so I'm ready to go at 7. I'm always the first one to leave the work yard in the morning and have half my work done for the day by 9 to 10 a.m. before most of the others have just started their first job. That's awesome.
I know. Look at that work ethic there, babe.
What?
That was such a long pause. Too. What the hell? Oh, wait. Hold on.
It's right there. See? I used to be there early riser. Man, I fucking hated
getting
up. I'm so sorry. I freaking hated getting up early when nobody else was awake yet. It was so boring.
I like it. Huh? See, you know why?
Well, that's because you're an adult.
You're an extrovert.
I'm not an extrovert.
You are. You pretend you're not an extrovert, but you're such an extrovert. Everybody else in the family has determined that you are. Mm-hmm. You love people.
Whose family?
This family. Your immediate close family who live in Maine. Oh. Because you're all like, I want to do this. I like to do this. I want to be around people. Oh, if you wake up early, there's no one there. Like, those are all extroverted things to say. An introvert like myself, right? We're like, oh yeah, silence. Awesome. Nobody trying to get you to do anything. This is amazing. Like, we love that.
Nah, man, you got it all wrong. See,
of course I had
such a horrible home life when I was a kid. When I got up in the morning, first thing I wanted to do was get out. But I didn't want to get out and be alone. I didn't want to be like some drama movie where I was walking the streets by myself, smoking cigarettes and, you know.
Well, John slept.
Yeah.
Waiting exactly. for your bestie to wake up, roaming the streets of Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Wait, is that a lie or is that true?
What part of a lie?
Was your home life so bad?
Oh, you know it was.
I don't know for sure.
No, I mean it was a lie.
Oh!
Jesus, baby, come on.
I thought you were finally opening up. I thought this was like an epiphany moment. I thought it was a blossoming in which we really learned the true self that lurked underneath your hardened exterior. But no. Nah. I thought we were seeing the Paul Rudd underneath the Harrison Ford, but no.
This isn't a friggin' therapy podcast, baby.
It could have been.
No.
It could have been. So John says, I do that to beat the heat.
I don't blame you.
Because John, for those of you who don't know, John is in Florida.
Fort Lauderdale, down south.
John says,
It's hot.
It's hot. Unlike Maine. I rise early because I have to. City buses wait for no one. See? That's what I'm talking about. Like these, like
what do
morning.
You mean that's what you're talking about.
And what you were talking about
earlier.
Oh,
yeah, that's like a morning routine right there.
Right.
Not I get up and do yoga after I looked at Facebook for half an hour.
And eating your smoked trout and your green pepper. Bed. Smoked trout, green pepper, meditation.
I mean,
yeah.
Jeez. I hit the snooze alarm 5 or 6 times. Finally, I wake up. I take a sip of the scotch I left out the night before so I'd have it ready in the morning.
This is Sean's dream world.
Yeah. I stumble into the bathroom.
That's not our bathroom. It's like this really posh bathroom, right? Like with a like Japanese toilet and everything's like amazing.
Yeah, if you're going to drink scotch first thing in the morning, you might as well be rich.
Yeah. And she also agrees on that alarm trauma, Shawnee.
See?
I get that.
It's relatable.
When you were a little kid, did your mom wake you up or did the alarm wake you up?
Both.
Really?
Yeah, depending on when. I got pretty self-sufficient with the old alarm pretty early.
My mom always woke me up. Very gently.
Yeah?
I was spoiled. Yeah, she'd be like, baby, it's time to get ready for school. It's time to wake up, sweetie. And I'd be like, I hate school. She'd be like, you're all right. Time to get up. I'm making you breakfast. Like, all the way through high school.
All the way through high school?
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, my mom's totally spoiling me.
You might as well be one of those people that wrote earlier.
No, we were poor. But my mommy loved me.
You're still entitled.
I was entitled, but nobody else in my immediate family, meaning my mother was.
Nobody said, get out of bed and make me breakfast, kid.
No, my mom was so sweet.
Damn.
She was super sweet. And then every morning I'd have a half an English muffin and some apple juice.
Oh.
With peanut butter on it.
She made you breakfast. That's fucking easy.
Language!
Sorry. I must have taken my F pill today.
You totally took your F pill.
Sorry.
It's okay. So that didn't happen to you in your youth?
What?
Your mommy didn't wake you up all the way through high school?
No! God! My mom would have kicked my ass if I woke her up that early. When she wasn't working, I mean. My mom got up her, you know, she was a hard worker, but I'm not going to lie about that.
I woke up Emily for a very long time.
Okay. Yes, you did.
And you don't get it because that's not how you were raised, but it was how I was raised. And oh, there's a thread. And so that's like how I ended up being.
Yeah, I know.
It made me feel loved and I wanted Emmy to feel loved. There you go. All right. So Susie says, get up, open the blinds, turn off porch lights, start coffee for big dog.
Susie, you're making me jealous now.
Tea for me. Stand at lanai doors and do morning devotion while observing my sliver of 100-acre woods. That sounds like Winnie the Pooh. Dress, fix breakfast, make a list of chores, and schedule my time of joy. Aww. And then start the rest of ritual day as a caregiver.
Damn, your husband's got it. Me.
I love Suze.
I'd give anything to have Carrie stand in front of the door in the morning naked.
She didn't say naked.
But she doesn't get dressed.
She didn't say naked.
No, she doesn't get dressed in that until after she stood at the lanai doors.
She could be wearing her PJs. She could be wearing her 90.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Naked is the theme of this podcast. You brought that right back around. Jenna says, if I slept through my alarm, I got a washcloth cloth on my face. Oh, some days it was cold and others it was hot. Wow. Oh, my mommy should have gone to your house and taken care of you. I grew to beat the alarm and get myself out the door before she could wake up. You know what? My mom would have totally taken you in.
Damn. You know, if those washcloths were wet and you were sleeping and they were thrown across your face like your nose, that's like waterboarding.
That's terrible. I want to hug you. Gosh darn it.
Susie said in my jammies.
So see, not naked. Hey, Everl says, it's a good thing you can save a half hour on your morning routine tomorrow by going out and shopping in your PJs tomorrow. Oh, look at him do that pitch.
I know.
Everl, for those of you who do not know, is the executive director of the Bar Harbor Chamber of Commerce. And that means that he is pitching
tomorrow's events,
which are the bed races, which is
on sale prior to.
I know, but let me say that the bed races is my favorite yearly event other than Halloween at Ledge Lawn. Okay, I don't know. I have many.
Second favorite.
I don't know. It might win because I don't have to buy a lot of candy for that one. And it also has this pajama sale component where local businesses have sales and you get discounts if you go in your PJs. So that's
and a lot of times even if you don't.
Yeah. Right? Like it's pretty cool. It's a lovely, adorable thing. And the bed races are the best. Like
I wonder if anybody's ever been like, hey, I sleep in the nude.
For pajama sale?
I'm gonna shop in the nude.
I feel like somebody has.
You think so?
I feel like if they haven't, they at least made the joke.
Why is that being all popping out my head?
I told you it was popping out earlier.
Damn, woman, you stressing me out.
Remember in the bathroom, I was like, baby, you've got a thing popping out on your forehead.
Because you're stressing me out? I'm just teasing.
It's the Bell of Lies. We need to name this. Should it be the Bell of Lies?
Yeah, it can be the Bell of Lies.
The fib ringer. It sounds like a fib later.
Yeah, it does.
Susie says, my mom was a farm girl through and through and was up at 3:30 a.m. every day. We were never allowed to sleep in.
That sucks.
I know.
I'm so sorry.
One of my grandparents was a farmer. And she always got up super early. And then my mom rebelled by being like, no one should have to get up that early.
You know, I gotta be like, if I'm gonna get up like before the sun and even do the romanticized thing of like sitting down on the back deck with a cup of coffee first thing in the morning watching the sunrise, it's gotta be a good spot. Like it's gotta be on the water down south or in the mountains or something. What?
You're just funny.
It's got to be worth it. That's a lot of work. That's why I've never once been up to the top of Cadillac and see the sunrise.
That's very sad.
No, Marie, I can see it rise 20 minutes later from my own bedroom window.
Marie Kondo says, I wake up around 6:30 in the morning. I open the windows to let in some fresh air, and I purify the house by burning incense. I think that's a wise thing to do.
And then I teach people how to poorly fold stuff.
Jenna says to call it the Lion Mike Bell.
No, that was John Bell.
Oh, John Bell said.
Yeah, there's a story related to that, but I'll tell you after.
Okay. Because we don't want to slander anyone. And Jenna says, I love the idea of a pajama day for the whole town. When we come back east, we may need to live in Bar Harbor. You should. My little ones should experience these things. We don't have a bus here, though. Well, we have the Island Explorer.
Oh, no, but a bus here.
It's not the same. Yeah. Very small town. Small town with a big giant tourist time in the summer. So it's like really interesting because it fluctuates.
That's the only time we have a bus too is in the summer.
Yeah. It's called the Island Explorer and it's sponsored by a whole bunch of people.
Mostly L.L. Bean.
To get the tourists around.
Mostly into the park.
But also it helps some people commute to the Jackson Laboratory, which is a major employer.
Oh yeah, they definitely do have some community involvement.
I feel like we have to be really good now that I think Everett's listening.
Oh, that's all right. I don't think he cares that much.
All right, cool. So, of course he cares. He's the director of the chamber. Sorry, Everett.
Oh, wait, though. What? That gives me two pieces of clothing. One for John and one for Everett. I can be down in my boxers.
Are you taking off all your clothes now?
No.
For those of you who weren't listening earlier, Sean thought that we should play Naked Podcast.
Strip podcast.
Where everybody, every time a man comments, he takes off an article of clothing.
No, just every time somebody's, yeah, comments, you're right. Shows up on comments.
So well, Shawnee would be naked now. Shawnee would be naked now.
No, he wouldn't. I have socks on and boxers.
Are you sure?
There's only two dudes here.
Only two dudes.
And only three women, so.
Yeah, man. Who've commented.
Why don't we advertise that next in 2 weeks?
How about hell to the no? No, 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 no.
You can just layer up, baby.
Dude, I would come in here wearing 57 articles of clothing.
I know.
I would not be able to walk. Like, I'd be like, ugh. I'd be like that little kid in
a t-shirt and a banana hammock. I'm just kidding.
That's his morning ritual. Put on the banana hammock.
No.
Burn some incense so the house doesn't smell like nighttime poopies. And there you go.
Nighttime poopies?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, I always wonder about, like, you know, like how rituals begin. Like, burn, like some cultures burn incense the first thing in the morning. And so in my head, I'm like, oh, maybe that's because the house got really smelly from all the dogs farting overnight.
No, like, what do you call before they have toilets? What are the, don't be trying to point at me.
Outhouses?
No, the pots. The
chamber pots?
Chamber pots, yeah.
Not Chamber of Commerce pots, ever. But chamber pots, yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you take a poop and let it sit suit out all night, it might stink a little bit.
Yeah, so, like, why wouldn't you burn a candle or burn some incense in the morning to try to, like, freshen things up a little bit?
That's right.
I'm so glad we have real toilets now.
I know. I just think you'd have to empty those things out every night. Every morning, baby.
What?
Every morning you have to empty
that would be my job? Oh, hell really? Yeah. I am that person who cleans the toilets in the house. So
you know how I get a little sometimes there in the nighttime, boy.
Okay, let's not talk about that.
That chamber pot would be full.
All right, we're about to end, but here.
What?
Yeah, it's almost 8. Ready? Susie says, while visiting my brother at this timeshare, my mother had to walk through the room I was sleeping in order to get to the kitchenette. As she walked through at 3:30 a.m. and says in a stage whisper, are you awake? Me. I am now. Mom. Good. Get up and have tea with me. No one said no to Mom. I do miss her. Aw. I'm sorry.
Oh, hell, you were on vacation. I probably would have got up then too. Knowing that I could have taken a nap during the day.
Yeah. There's a joy in taking naps, isn't there?
What?
Naps are nice.
Oh. Are they? Naps are like unicorns to me.
I know.
Do they exist?
It's like I don't know.
Show me proof that naps exist.
Alexander the Great used to take naps.
Oh, I'm sure he did. He didn't have to do nothing.
He didn't have to do nothing?
No.
He didn't have to do nothing?
He was in charge. He was the top dog.
He was like campaigning across the lake.
Yeah.
He was taking over civilizations and assimilating them.
He wasn't out there slicing and dicing.
Oh, he most definitely was.
Yeah, in between naps is what I'm saying. He'd be like, hey, you guys go ahead and get a head start. I'll be out there in about 3 hours when you're all worn down.
That is not how Alexander the Great fought. No, that is not how he fought.
That was smart.
No, that is not how he fought. He led the battles. And I am not going to give everybody a dissertation on Alexander the Great right now because nobody wants to hear it.
Uh-huh.
You're, look at you rubbing on your ear.
So?
All right. So Everil said, Susie says naps are necessary. And Everil says, thank you both for being Friday Entertainment. Love those broadcasts.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Everil.
See you tomorrow morning, probably.
Yeah, way too early.
Carrie will be the one in the middle of the street getting run over.
Yeah, I get to volunteer at the bed races this weekend.
I'll be the one with behind the camera. Taking pictures of Carrie getting run over.
I was waiting. I was like, come on, you're going to do that. Thank you all very much for being here and listening and hanging out with us this Friday for an hour. We really appreciate it. I'm sorry that we're such goofy goofers and that Sean swore so much. And also,
have a great weekend.
This music is provided that you're about to hear by Stubby. And if you look at our podcast notes on carriejonesbooks.blog or wherever, you will see links to his site. He is amazing, super talented as a musician and as a writer. Whew. And we thank him.
Was he paying you for that?
No, but he should have.
Yeah, no.
I know. Oh, but he did give us his song for free, so I kind of feel
like. Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Have a great night and a good weekend.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to Loving the Strange. Please be sure to like and subscribe. And remember, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Go get your strange on, friends. Thanks for listening.